hug somebody's neck and you can be seated this morning. Let me just start by saying welcome to Bethel this morning. Man, we are so glad you come to worship with us, and it's always fun to come hang out. How about Darren stepping up? How about the band? Put your hands together and give them some love this morning. And so we're glad you're here. Let me just start off by saying happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. Come on, put your hands together and give all the mothers in here a great big round of applause. Thankful for our mothers. Everybody loves a mother. Everybody can be in touch with the importance of a mother. And I'll just tell you that, like, I have been more stressed over this sermon than any in the last year I've preached. Because I'm not a mama, but I know the importance of mamas, and just want the Lord to be glorified and want the mamas to be encouraged today. So all of you moms, all of you stepmoms, single moms, foster moms, adoptive moms, spiritual moms, grandmothers, man, we love you guys and we appreciate you. And so one more time, put your hands together for all the mamas in here and give them some love. So today we're going to focus on mothers, and we're going to focus on motherhood. Today, as we start out, we're going to take a few moments and we're going to lay out some basic stuff today. We're going to lay out some biblical truth today, because how many of you know truth has been attacked in the society that we live in today? Truth has been attacked, and this person says this is truth, and this group says this is truth, and this political party says this is truth. But how many of you know, as Christ followers, we believe the Bible is the truth? And we need to know the truth, because the truth will set us free from the lie, and the truth will set us free from the bondage. So we're going to lay out some basic and biblical stuff. We're going to talk about mothers, and we're going to look, and we're going to see that in the Word of God, from the beginning of time, when God created everything, God had this idea that He was going to create women in such a way that they could be mothers. And only, let me just tell you, everybody looking at me, look. Let me tell you something. Only biological women can be mothers. I just want to set the record straight. That a biological male cannot become pregnant. A biological male cannot carry and give birth to a child. The truth is, God knew what He was doing from the beginning of time, and He created male, and He created female, and He created females to be mothers and to give birth. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 27. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 27 says, "So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. And God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply.'" God created it. God set everything in order. God created the earth. He created male and He created female. And really think about it, how cool it is that God made male and God made female to come together in a way that they could reproduce and that they could have offspring. It does not take a sex education class to figure that out. It is just common sense. Can I hear a good amen? Amen. Genesis 3 verse 20 says, Then the man, Adam, named his wife Eve because she would be the mother of all who live. How many know Eve is the OG mama? Come on, somebody. She's the original gangster. She's the mother. From the beginning of time, God created women for that. According to the dictionary, the handy-dandy dictionary app on my iPhone, the dictionary, there are several character qualities of a mother that we're going to discuss and we're going to talk about today. One is that a mother is maternal, that a mother is affectionate, that a mother is protective. A mama can go mama bear on you. And a mother is responsible. I want you to know this, that God's plan was and always will be this right here. God's plan was and always will be for one man and one woman to come together and enter into the covenant of marriage and to raise kids and to start a family. How many of you know our world would be better off if we made that priority in our life? Than above being a cowboy and above being a preacher and above having a career and above climbing the social ladder, if we said we were created to be husband and wife, we were created to be father mother, and we were created to be mother. We were created to enter into marriage and raise up children and to teach those children the truth of the Word of God and raise up little warriors and raise up little fathers and raise up little mothers. Our world would be better if that were priority once again. Priority to have a family. It was God's plan. Now, just got to lay it out here again and tell you that children, I understand, we live in a broken world and we live in a fallen world. Can I hear a good amen? But God's original plan was this, for one man, one woman to come together, have children, and God's plan was this, for a child to be raised in a home with a father and a home with a mother. That's the perfect case scenario. Because God knew that we needed that balance. Men, how many of you know men are a little bit more gruff than women are? Men are a little bit harder. Men are going to push. Men are going to be strong. Men are going to be providers and leaders. And men are going to show young sons and daughters how to live out a life of masculinity. But then there's going to be this mother on the other side. And the mother is going to be completely different than the father. The mother is going to be softer. The mother is going to be maternal. She's going to be more affectionate. She's even going to be more loving and responsible. Can I hear a good amen? But those two together bring a balance to raise up a child and know how God created it to be. So as we celebrate Mother's Day, God created women to be mamas. God created marriage to raise up children. And now let's talk about mamas just a little bit. How many of you are thankful for your mama today? Shout yes. Now listen, not all mamas get it right every time. Mamas make mistakes. Mamas do things at a young age. Mamas don't always do what they wish they would have done. But I want to tell you something. Without your mama, you wouldn't be here today. Without your mother, you wouldn't be here today. And I want to take a moment and speak to you mothers who may be in the middle of a mess. I want to speak to you mothers who maybe got it wrong, who maybe made a poor decision, who maybe didn't do the way that you feel like you need to do. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you've made a mistake and if you've messed up, I want you to know there is forgiveness and there is redemption in Jesus Christ. And every day in Jesus, it's a new opportunity to make new choices and make a better life for you and your children. So I want you mamas to know you are special and you got a chance to do things new. Let's discuss the importance of mothers. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 1. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 1. Now Adam had sexual relations with his wife, and all the men said, amen. Just by the way, that's not just for reproduction, that's for joy too. I don't care what nobody tells you. Adam and Eve, they come together. They have sexual relations. She becomes pregnant. And when she gave birth to her firstborn, she said, with the Lord's help, I have produced a man. When a sperm comes together with an egg, boom, that is when a woman becomes pregnant, and that is when life begins. I want to take a moment and tell you, because we live in a world that is jacked up and tries to deny truth. We as Bible-believing Christians believe this. At the moment of conception, life begins. That is why we are pro-life as Bible believers. You know what? Life doesn't begin at 16 days, at 30 days, at 3 months. Life begins at conception. The Bible says before you were in your mother's womb, God knew you and he formed you. The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And if we believe that, how can we take a stance and destroy what God has given life to? We are pro-life when a woman becomes pregnant. I can't help but think about Katie Grace leading worship up here. Have y'all noticed that little bump on her belly right here? That little bump, how you know, you notice it's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I can't help but think when she leads worship about the life that is inside of her belly. I can't help but think how these worship songs are being sung to you guys, but they're being sung over this life. Who can hear the words that glorify God? I can't help but think when Katie Grace reads the scripture, how that little baby girl, her name's going to be Livy Kirk, by the way, after Cody Kirk, just saying. I can't help but think that this life that started even before she is born into this world, she's already understanding the worship of God and the goodness of God. What an awesome thing, the gift of life that mamas carry inside of them. When a woman finds out that she is pregnant, when a woman finds out she's pregnant, immediately they begin to think maternal. They begin to think in a more loving way, in a more sacrificial way. I mean, you know, when a woman gets pregnant, her lifestyle changes. You quit smoking cigarettes when you got pregnant, didn't you? Come on, somebody. No, some of you, your mother smoked while she was pregnant with you, and it shows today. They, all of a sudden, it's this maternal, it's this responsibility. Lifestyles change. You start living more healthy. You start making better choices. You start eating better. You start living life better. Your mindset shifts. The mama's mindset shifts. And all of a sudden, it's not about me and what I want to do, but it's about this gift that God has given me. It's about life. Everything starts to change when a woman gets pregnant. And how many of you have ever noticed this? The glow that a mama gets when she's pregnant. Come on, somebody. Their demeanor changes. The sparkle in their eye changes. Their attitude changes. Here's what I want you to know today. Once motherhood begins at conception, motherhood never quits. I am 52 years old, and my mama is here today, and she's still my mama. She ain't quit being my mama, and I still need my mama. All of us, it starts, and it never quits. At the moment that the baby is birthed, is born into this world. You know what? Motherly instincts kick in. And what's the first thing they do? Turn the baby up and say, it's a boy or it's a girl. And they hand that baby to the mama. And mama lays that baby skin on skin. And the doctor has just spanked that baby's butt. And that baby is crying. But when that mother holds that baby and that mother begins to care and caress for that baby, it's like everything else is forgotten in the world. Now the mama begins to nourish the baby, feed the baby, change dirty diapers. And the older they get, you teach them, you give them freedom, all these things. And we've been talking about moments over here at Bethel, these moments. How many of you know when a mama gives birth to a baby and sees that baby, it is a moment. It's a moment that a mama will never, ever forget. It's like little girls. Like I love to see little girls playing with baby dolls. Come on, somebody. Not Barbie dolls, because Barbie's gay, but I'm talking about baby dolls. I'm talking about baby dolls. Not dressing some scantily clad woman in a bikini, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Babies. When a little girl carries around a baby doll and she puts a diaper on that baby doll and she combs that baby doll's hair, see, that is a little girl knowing that God created her to be a mama, and she's learning at a young age how to care for the gift of life when God gives that to her. So cool. This lady, there's an author named Elizabeth Stone. She made this quote, and I think it's so profound. The lady named Elizabeth Stone, she said, making a decision to have a child is momentous. It is to decide forever to have your heart go walking around outside of your body. It's your heart, it's your baby. And when that baby is gone, now your heart and your love and your life and your worth is walking around outside of your body. How many would agree with me that mamas make the best of every situation? Mamas make the best. Mothers make a house a home. How many know there's a difference in a house and a home? I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, that when I was a little boy, me and my mom, we grew up together. She was like about 14 when I got, no, not really. She was 19. But we joke that we grew up together, and we lived in a trailer house over there. It was just, you know, like some of them trailer houses are kind of cool nowadays, but none of them were cool back in the day. They had the aluminum sides on it. You know, we didn't have, we had evaporative coolers. You know, mom would say, Cody, go run some water on the pads outside. It's getting hot in the house. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It was just a house. It was a trailer house. But my mother made it a home, and she made it a place where we ate together, and my mom cooked for us. And it was just a place where it was home when I was a young child. Mothers have so much influence in the lives of their children. I'm going to tell you, read some scripture about a guy in the Bible named Timothy. The great apostle Paul, he wrote two books, and he wrote them to Timothy. Timothy was this great apostle Paul's spiritual son. I want us to read about how Timothy's faith got started. Acts chapter 16, verse number 1. Acts chapter 16, verse number 1. Paul went first to Derbe and then to Lystra, where there was a young disciple named Timothy. His mother was a Jewish believer. Now let's look at 2 Timothy 1:5. 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, and he says this, "I remember your genuine faith, Timothy, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and then your mother Eunice, and I know the same faith continues strong in you." Timothy, his faith started with his grandmother. His faith then passed down to his mother, and then it passed down unto him. How many of you are thankful that you had a mama that passed down your faith unto you? I really believe that we're having a revival and we're having a revolution where fathers and men are stepping up to the plate and doing what the Bible has called them to do, to be the spiritual leaders of their home. But there was a time when men didn't do that, and when men didn't do that, and when fathers didn't do that, moms, you had to step up and you had to be the spiritual leader of your home. Timothy's faith started with his grandmother and then came down to his mother. I remember the influence that my mother had on me growing up. I remember the influence my mother had on me. My faith, I actually say, started with her. My mom worked as hard as anybody that I've ever known. My dad rodeoed. He was gone 3/4 of the year, off rodeoing and off doing the deal. My mother had 2 or 3 jobs. My mother worked hard, but mom always influenced us. And what little time she had left, I know you were give out. I know you were tired. I know you were ready to give up, but you never, ever stopped having time for us, and you never, ever didn't fix a meal, and you never, ever didn't put us in the bed. My faith started with her. My mother was a true definition of a mother. My mother taught me how to pray when I was a little bitty boy. And you know what? I still remember the very words of those prayers today. We lived in that old single wide trailer house. And my sister's room was on the end of the trailer house. She got the bigger room because she was always the favorite. She got the bigger room. It was decorated with strawberry shortcake. Come on, somebody. I remember those days. And then my room was next to her room, in between her room and the living room. I had bunk beds in my room. I had Kiss pictures on the wall. And I had a poster of Farrah Fawcett too. Come on, somebody. That I wore at the West Texas Fair throwing darts. My mom would go in there and pray for my sister and put her in the bed. And then my mom would come in there to my bedroom and she would pray. And it's a silly prayer, but I still remember word for word the prayer that my mama taught me. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And then we finished it like this. "God bless Mom and Dad, Cody and Rusty," that's my sister, "Gene and Donald," that's my grandparents, "Red and Cherry," that's my other grandparents, "Rusty, Brenda, Brian, and Kylie," that's my aunt and uncle and my cousins, "Sheila, Mike, and Michelle," that's my other aunt and my other cousins. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I remember that prayer. I knew it was special at night. And you know what? I thought back in the day, I thought my mama was the prettiest mama that anybody ever had. She had the biggest, prettiest blue eyes. And before you girls went and paid ridiculous money at the beauty shop to get them fancy eyelashes, my mama had the best eyelashes. She had them blue eyes and them eyelashes. I thought she was the youngest, coolest. I thought she was the best cook ever. And she was, because she was my mama. She was very maternal. She was very affectionate. She was very loving. Like my dad didn't hug. My dad didn't kiss. My dad didn't give words of affirmation. My dad was not very loving. He just wasn't open like that. He was raised old school, and that's all he knew, and that's all he was. But mom did. Mom's the one that when you got hurt would come comfort you. Mom's the one when you were struggling would listen to you. She would encourage me. She would speak life. And how many would agree with this? Mama's usually the one that gave us the benefit of the doubt. She was protective of what we ate, of where we were, what we were around, what we listened to. She was protective to keep us on the right track, which meant she would blister that butt when she needed to. Two whippings I remember getting from my mama. That's the only two I remember. One of them was with a ping pong paddle, and one of them was with a piece of garden hose, y'all. And I'm telling you, that one with a garden hose, I still ain't forgot it to this day. A huge part of who I am and the person that I have become today is because of my mother. How many of you are proud to be Americans today? Come on, somebody say yes. There's a very important man in the history of America. He's known as our founding father. His name is George Washington. And George Washington once said this, "I am what I am because of my mother." There's another guy that was a great leader in the United States of America named Abraham Lincoln. And here's what he said, "I remember my mother's prayers. They have always followed me. They have clung to me all of my life." I just want to say something, and I want to remind you mothers today that you are very special, that you know what? We need you, and we're thankful for you, and we may not always tell you, and we may forget about it, and we may get busy, and we may be living life, but I want the mothers in this place to know, mine included, you are special, you are valuable, and you have helped to shape us, and mold us into who we are today. Mothers, you bring something to the table that we can't get anywhere else. Keep on being a mom. Being a mother is one of the greatest blessings, and it's also one of the greatest rewards, watching your children grow up. Motherhood must continue to be. I'm challenging you here. Motherhood must continue to be made a priority and must be passed down to every generation. Because there's a generation right now that's not really been taught how to be a good mother. And we need to take that role upon us. Can I just say something to you younger mothers? If you're a young mother, or you're a soon-to-be mother, or you're a wannabe mother, and you're nervous and you don't know and you're wondering, how can I do? What can I do? Can I tell you that God has placed people in your life that have been where you've never been and done what you've not done before? So reach out to an older mother. Reach out to someone that's already been there. Come underneath them and ask them for advice and listen to instruction. Because here's what the Word of God says, Titus chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. These older women, and you got to classify yourself on that part. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children, to live wisely and to be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the Word of God. I just want to make this statement right now. Motherhood needs to become sexy once again in the United States of America. Motherhood needs to become priority once again. I am not saying that you can't work. I'm not saying that a woman can't have a career. But I am saying this. The main thing and the most important thing needs to be motherhood and raising up children. Yes, you can do what you want to do, but your children are what matter the most. Being a mother. Even the great Apostle Paul that we talked about earlier, he was influenced by someone as a mom. And so you know what? Not only should we cherish our mothers, we should cherish the mother figures in our life. Because Paul says this, he's writing to the church of Rome, Romans chapter 16, verse 13. Paul said, "Greet Rufus." What was his mother thinking when she named him Rufus? Come on, somebody. Paul said, "Greet Rufus, whom the Lord picked out to be his very own." Watch this. Paul said, "Also greet Rufus's dear mother, who has been like a mother to me." The great Apostle Paul was influenced by one of his friend's mothers. Being a mother, one of the greatest blessings ever. Being a mother is sacrificial. Being a mother is very challenging. Being a mother means that you are selfless, that you lay your life down. Being a mother sometimes is a struggle. Being a mother can be downright hard. It requires more of your energy than what you think you have. Being a mother requires effort. You must be resilient. You must be strong. Being a mother will take up your time. It will be your greatest investment. It will be tiresome, taxing, expensive, painful. But being a mother is worth it all. I'm going to tell you a couple of stories about mothers. Mothers will do what mothers need to do. One time we were going to the Red Steagle Ranch Rodeo, And Will was, I don't think he was even 2 years old. I was in the rodeo, man. Jennifer was excited. I was excited. We were there. And Will had, I think he had the toothache. And you know, when children, babies have the toothache, it makes them poop everywhere. Come on, somebody. Jennifer was a regular mother. She was her first mother, and she had her bag packed, and she was prepared, and she had two or three different suits of clothing. And after he pooped through the third pair of clothing that she had all over the place, she said, I got to go get this boy some clothes, and I got to get him cleaned up. We're at Red Steagle Ranch Rodeo, north side Fort Worth, and if you've ever been there, it's straight running hood around that place, y'all. There is a film and a funk and a smoke of marijuana down there. Gangsters everywhere, lowriders, but Jennifer didn't care. She was a mama, and she wanted that baby to look good, and she loaded up and went to the Dollar General in Northside Fort Worth. Got that boy some new clothes and brought him back to the rodeo to watch his daddy in the rodeo. Mothers will put themselves in awkward, unsafe positions to take care of their baby. I have another friend of mine, one of my best friends. His father left, I think, on a Saturday. His father came when he was a young boy, and he had a young sister and a mother. And on Saturday, his dad came home and announced, I'm leaving, I'm out, I'm done. It left a woman with no husband. It left two children with a void in their home, no father. He had left. My friend said to me, I never realized till I got older how tough my mother was, how my mother just stepped up. That happened on a Saturday. Do you know what that mother did on Sunday morning? She went in there and woke that little young boy up and woke that daughter up, said, get up, boys and girls. We're going to go to the house of the Lord today. We're going to church. And it was only years later that my friend said to me, I never understood how much that impacted me, that in the middle of my mother's darkest hour, she said, get up, and we're still going to serve God. So important, moms, Darren and worship team, would y'all come help me close? Motherhood, it will require all you have at times, but it's the most worthy investment there is. So today we celebrate you. We couldn't do it without you. Moms, I want to say this to you today. You make the best chocolate chip cookies ever. And I know sometimes your children say, I'd rather have Chips Ahoy, but you keep making them chocolate chip cookies. You make the best chocolate chip cookies. You make the best tuna fish sandwiches. You give the best hugs, moms. You listen better than anyone else. You work harder than anybody. Moms, your prayers are powerful. You're the best doctor and you're the best nurse ever, all wrapped up in one. Moms, you hold things together. You make a house into a home. Your words of encouragement are so powerful. Your stretch marks, mom, they are greatly appreciated. You are the best, and we love you. And today we honor you and we celebrate you. Keep on being mom. Keep on doing what you do. The Bible says in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man, knowing that of the Lord you will receive your reward. So moms, sometimes kids don't appreciate it. Sometimes kids don't say it. Sometimes husbands don't say it. Sometimes the men in your life and the people don't recognize what you do. But keep being a mom, because that's what God called you to do. And God sees your every effort, and God will reward you. I want to take a moment. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. And here's what I want to do to close out. I just want to pray for the moms in here today. And here's what I want to ask you to do. If you're sitting next to your mother, or you're sitting next to the mother of your children, I want you just to kind of reach over and just acknowledge them. Just put your hand on them. Children, your mama as well. Husbands, dads, friends, whatever it might be. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray the scripture over you. I'm going to pray Proverbs 31 over you, which tells of a virtuous woman. It tells of a godly mother. And so I want to pray this prayer of blessing over the mothers as we close out today. Father, we thank you for the mothers that are in this room. Lord, we thank you for them and their sacrifice and their work and their efforts. Lord, we trust your word, and we know your word is true. And so today, we pray the word of God over these mothers. Proverbs 31:25 says, a mother is clothed with strength. And so, God, I pray today that you would clothe the mothers in this room with strength, that you would give them strength above their own strength. You would give them strength in the middle of being weak and weary and worn and tattered, and give out, Lord, strengthen them right now. Let them see their value, the value it is in being called a mother, the one who gives life to each one of us. Lord, the Bible says she is clothed with strength and dignity. Let motherhood be a place of dignity once again. Lord, let us rejoice and be dignified in being a mom and being a servant, Lord. The word says that she's clothed with strength and dignity, and that she laughs without fear of the future. Lord, I pray for mamas to be able to laugh once again. I pray for mamas to not be so serious, not be so concerned about everything being in order. Lord, I pray for mothers to laugh, because laughter causes joy, and the joy of the Lord is their strength. Lord, give these mothers laughter and give them joy in this moment. The scripture says when she speaks, her words are wise. Lord, I pray you give the mothers wisdom in this place today. And as they speak to their children, as they correct their children, as they encourage their children, I pray that everything that rolls off of their tongue would be wisdom, not wisdom from a textbook, not wisdom from something she read, but wisdom from God. The Holy Spirit would give moms wisdom. And Lord, as she gives the children instruction, that there would be kindness on her tongue, that she would speak kindly and with love and affection, Lord, that kindness flow out of her mouth, Lord, as she carefully watches over her household. Lord, let dignity come back to being a wife and to being a mom and to being a housekeeper, Lord. Let dignity come over mothers as they take care of their household and as they work hard. Lord, I pray that the mother's children would stand up and bless her. Lord, I pray that children would speak to their moms and say, Mom, I bless you. Lord, the scripture says that husbands would praise her. Let the mothers be blessed, and let the mothers be praised in this place today, Lord. There are many virtuous and many capable women in the world, but Mom, you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will greatly be praised. Reward her for all that she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Father, bless the mamas. Speak to the mothers. Fill the mothers up. Fill them up with joy. Fill them up with the Spirit of God. Fill them up with wisdom, Lord. Fill them up with the fruit of the Spirit. Let them feel value. Let them feel worth today, and motivate mothers to go out here. Motivate young women to grow up and to aspire to be a mama and to take care. Lord, we love you and we bless you. We celebrate Mother's Day, and we celebrate mothers. Bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Come on, give your mama some praise today. You can stay seated. The worship team has a blessing for you today.